Good morning and welcome to Blessed Savior Lutheran Church in O'Fallon, Illinois. We're so glad to have you here with us this morning. Whether you're a member of our church or experiencing this through the video from far places away, we're just glad that you're here today. I had a funny call come after our Easter service, a call from my cousin who is living in Washington State, who discovered our website and watched our Easter service. And so, Marilyn, if you happen to be watching again this Sunday, we're so glad to have you to be a part of this service. Now, to you folks that are living in the metro area, we hope that someday you'll be able to come and visit with us in person. You'll be our guest, and we'd love to have you. Well, by now, I'm sure you've all heard the news that Pastor Matt and Haley Cush are the proud parents of a newborn son, Daniel Russell Cush, who was born this past Tuesday at 12:10 a.m. and was baptized shortly after he was born. Now, before you begin feeling a little sorry because he was born at such a wee hour in the morning, let me tell you that Haley's labor and delivery was around 3 hours. Daniel apparently couldn't wait to meet his parents and came in a big hurry. Now, I know there's been a lot of questions about the surgery, and I believe that that's going to be determined tomorrow, Monday, the 20th. We received also some bad news, some really tough news. This past Tuesday, we learned that Pastor Brian Downs of Zion Lutheran Church in Belleville suffered a serious heart attack. He was rushed to the hospital and had emergency surgery to have the blockage opened. I understand he's recovering well at this time, so praise be to God for that. Another announcement is we also have our adult Bible class that's meeting at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings. If you came to the 10:45 service this morning, well, then you missed our Bible study. But if you are interested in joining, please send me your email expressing your desire to join our Bible study. We're currently going through the book of 1 Samuel. We're about chapter 23, so we'd love to have you join us for that. You can listen if you wish. You can actually turn off your video if you're in your pajamas. So please join us. We're so looking forward to the end of this quarantine, and the indications are that maybe some businesses might be opening soon, but I'm sure that this is all going to happen gradually and hopefully very safely. I do hope as well that this period of isolation has been a time for spiritual reflection. There are many opportunities online to study God's Word. If you haven't gotten the Word yet, let me tell you that you have access to a website called Right Now Media. R-I-G-H-T, now, media.com. There are tons of Bible studies, conferences, speakers, even a great children's program available to you to enjoy. So please contact me again through email, and I will get you set up. You'll have to register and make your own password, and then you'll have access to the website anytime. There is absolutely no cost for joining. So we turn our attention away from the business of the church now as we focus on our risen Lord Jesus Christ. We begin this worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening sentences are from Romans 6 and John chapter 20. Alleluia. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Alleluia. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Alleluia. Alleluia. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Having been shown his divine favor through Jesus Christ, let us confess our sins unto our gracious Lord. We take a moment of silence for self-reflection and repentance. Almighty God, in humility and with repentant hearts, we come before you. With shame and regret, we admit and confess our sinfulness. We have not lived up to our calling as your peaceable people. We have not done good you demand and have not been people you would have us be. We are truly sorry for our sins and seek, by the help of your Holy Spirit, to amend our sinful ways. Have mercy on us, merciful Father, for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus. Forgive us all that needs your forgiving grace, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, direct us to serve you faithfully all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Dear friends, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Out of his great mercy, God has promised to forgive us when we repent and seek his merciful forgiveness. As Christ rose from the grave and appeared to his disciples, reviving them and speaking words of peace, so now I declare to you, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We take a moment now to share the peace of Christ with those with whom we are worshiping. Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may, by your grace, confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We now prepare our hearts for the reading of God's holy word.
But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the man outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone, for if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I'm sure you've heard the numbers. It has just been reported that in the past 4 weeks, 22 million people have lost their jobs. At the same time, the American Psychiatric Association has come out with new research indicating that nearly half of all Americans are anxious about the possibility of getting the coronavirus. And more than a third of Americans say the coronavirus is having a serious impact on their mental health. And to no surprise, most people feel that the virus is having a serious impact on their day-to-day lives. According to recent polls, most adults are concerned that the pandemic will have a serious impact on their finances,
And almost half of us are worried about running out of food, medicine, or supplies. Who would have ever thought that we would be anxious about not having toilet paper? Well, that's all a lot of anxiety. That's a lot of fear. And if you're feeling that way this morning, know that you're not alone. And there's more. The National Weather Service has confirmed 105 tornadoes carved paths through 10 states Sunday into Monday. The combined path length of all the confirmed tornadoes totals nearly 772 miles of damage. Add to the coronavirus disruption, this recent tornado damage in much of the South, and you've got a pretty crazy situation going on. Our gospel lesson for this morning begins with fear, which makes it a very appropriate topic. On the very day of the joyous new life of resurrection, the disciples were huddled together in a locked room for fear of the Jews. And their fears are realistic. Just 3 days later, in collusion with religious leaders, the Roman governor ordered the crucifixion of the most thoughtful, generous, and loving person this world has ever seen. And Jesus' disciples had every reason to expect that they too might be on the list of incarceration at best, or execution at worst. And so their doors are shut. But fear and locked doors are no barrier for the resurrected Christ, whose body, though scarred, has overcome the greatest of all human fears. John tells us that Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed. They were glad when they saw the Lord. Could it be that in showing his wounds to his disciples, Jesus is not only showing them that he's the same person they saw hanging on a cross a few days ago, but also that his wounds prove to them that Jesus has overcome the very worst the world can do to him. Evil is no match for Jesus. Death is no match for Jesus. The devil is no match for Jesus. Therefore, what have we got to fear? I have a real strange recollection from my childhood that might fit well here. I don't know if this is a universal experience, but I remember being a little kid discussing with my friends about who had the strongest dad. If we didn't think our dad was particularly strong, we would search our little minds for whatever quality that might make our dads look smarter, more influential, or more powerful in some maybe authoritative way. And as we did that, we did it for the sake of feeling safe. I was digging through some of my dad's relics from years ago, and I found some of his military medals from World War II. I told my friends with pride how my dad, who had never owned a gun, had received a sharpshooter medal. What could harm you when dad was around? Absolutely nothing. That made him the strongest man in the world in my mind, and it had a calming effect. No one's going to mess with my dad. I had nothing to worry about, nothing to fear. Well, in a very real way, Jesus is the strongest man in the world. All the powers and authorities, not even death itself, could could keep him down. What have we got to fear? In Rudyard Kipling's The Jungle Book, Mowgli, the man-cub, asks the animals what the most feared thing is in the jungle. He's told that when two animals meet on a narrow path, one of the animals must step aside and let the other animal pass. The animal that steps aside for no one would be then the most feared. Mowgli wants to know what kind of animal that is. One of them says, an elephant. Another says, it's a lion. And finally, an old owl explains, the most feared thing in the jungle is death. It steps aside for no one. Well, my friends, welcome to the jungle. We live in scary times. Over 37,000 deaths have been attributed to the coronavirus in the United States. Worldwide, only God knows, but the number is staggering. Even though this virus has been slow to reach St. Clair County, the anxiety level, the fear level, is increasing. Jesus said to his fearful disciples, peace be with you. And Jesus says to each one of us, peace be with you. But what kind of peace is Jesus offering? What does he mean? And who wouldn't want peace? Isn't that what most sane individuals desire most? We all need peace, don't we? Let me say, first of all, there is some danger around the word peace. We must avoid making the mistake of assuming that Jesus is talking about the absence of conflict, or the presence of quiet and rest, or of everyone agreeing and getting along. This may happen in the world to come, but it doesn't happen here. Think about it. Jesus says, peace be with you. And then he says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. In other words, Jesus' intention is to send his disciples out on the same mission that ended up getting him killed. The peace Jesus offers has nothing to do with sitting on the couch eating bonbons or falling asleep during a Sunday afternoon replay of Super Bowl number who knows what, long past. God's peace isn't about being able to afford the most expensive house or luxury car. It has nothing to do with cutting ourselves off from the world. It is not prosperity gospel. It doesn't mean that deadly tornadoes won't knock down your homes or that the financial fallout from the coronavirus won't touch us. In fact, it is exact opposite. God's peace calls us to go into the world to love and minister to others without fear, even though it might threaten our comfort, our bank accounts, and our stuff. German Lutheran pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer wisely and bluntly put it this way: when Christ calls a person, he calls that person to come and die. But it is in dying to the old ways, the ways of the world, that we find resurrection, real life, and true peace. Examples of devastated lives finding peace after an encounter with Christ abound. If you lived during the time of the Vietnam War, you have seen her picture. We won't show it, but I know it's emblazoned in my mind. She was 9 years old, running along a puddled roadway in front of an expressionless soldier, arms outstretched, naked, shrieking in pain and fear. The dark contour of a napalm cloud billowing in the distance. Her first name is Kim, but we all knew her as the Napalm Girl. Kim was in the wrong place at the wrong time when a South Vietnamese forces were bombing the North's trade routes. After the war, Kim was isolated from others because of her scarred body. But her problems were more than the pain of her scars, which turned her body into an oven in Vietnam's tropical heat. You see, she carried a load of bitterness, rage, resentment, and the like. Her spiritual anguish was deeper than her physical burns, which were horrendous. After the war, Kim was in a library searching for some meaning for all that had happened to her. She pulled down books from Baha'i, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, and Cao Dai, the religion of her parents and her ancestors. But she also found a New Testament and began reading about Jesus. She discovered two things. Jesus had suffered for his claim to be the only way to God. But what caught her attention was how he had been mocked, tortured, and killed. Why would he endure such things, she wondered, if he were not in fact God? Listen to what she wrote. I had never been exposed to this side of Jesus, the wounded one, the one who bore scars. I turned over this new information in my mind as a gem in my hand, relishing the light that was cast from all sides. The more I read, the more I came to believe that he really was who he said he was, and that he had really done what he said he had done, and that, most important to me, he really would do all that he promised in his word. Here's how she ended her article in Christianity Today a few years ago. Nearly half a century had passed since I found myself running, frightened, naked, and in pain down that road in Vietnam. I will never forget the horrors of that day, the bombs, the fire, the shrieks, the fear. Nor will I forget the years of trial and torment that followed. But when I think about how far I have come, the freedom and peace that comes from faith in Jesus, I realize that there is nothing greater or more powerful than the love of our blessed Savior. My faith in Jesus has enabled me to forgive those who have hurt and scarred me. It has enabled me to pray for my enemies rather than curse them, and it has enabled me not just to tolerate them, but truly to love them. I will forever bear the scars of that day, and that picture will always serve as a reminder of the unspeakable evil of which humanity is capable. That picture defined my life. In the end, it gave me a mission, a ministry, a cause. Kim is the founder of the Kim Foundation International, in which she supports children who are victims of war by providing medical and psychological support in order for them to overcome traumatic experiences. Kim's picture, I hope you can see now. Christian faith in action brings us peace. Jesus' kind of peace, God's peace. This is Kim today, probably not what you would expect from someone who endured so much pain for so many years. Back in John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Again, the kind of peace Jesus offers is not about living the high life with the absence of troubles. In this life, it just doesn't exist. Everyone from the richest to the poorest has troubles and hardships. And so the only real peace is Christ's peace. It can come to a person in a jail cell. It can come to a person living on the streets. It can come to a single parent wondering how to navigate his or her employment, avoid the virus, and still keep your sanity while trying to raise healthy kids. Christ's peace can come to anyone, anywhere. It has nothing to do with circumstances. It has nothing to do with what is going outside of us or around us. Rather, it is a gift from Jesus. And for those who receive this precious gift from our Lord, it becomes a peace which transcends all understanding. It is a peace, a contentment that settles deep inside our hearts. The Apostle Paul said that he learned the secret of how to be content in any circumstance, whether being full or hungry, whether having plenty or being poor. And Paul didn't learn this from taking life easy. He learned this by taking up his cross and following Jesus. He learned it by losing his life only to find it in Jesus. He learned it by giving himself for the sake of others, even when it cost him so much. Paul says in Philippians that this peace of God that transcends all understanding keeps our hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Isn't that what we all need? Now more than ever? Hearts and minds that are kept safe? So I'd like to ask you some questions this morning to consider. And I want you to think about them and be honest with yourself. And be honest before God. Do you feel as though your heart and mind are safe? Or are you like one-third of Americans who say the coronavirus is having a serious impact on their mental health? Do you feel like you're going crazy behind locked doors of your life? Are you depressed? Are you anxious? Again, if so, the polls show that you are far from being alone. But the good news is that fearfully locked doors and hearts cannot keep God's peace out. Doors of fear can't prevent the risen Christ from coming to you and to me and offering us the free gift of God's peace. I hope you can hang in with me for just a few more minutes. I have just a story to conclude with. It's been circulating around, and I thought it was appropriate. It happened at a church food pantry. It was near the end of the night, and they were getting ready to close up. But then another car pulled in. They assumed it was another needy family, so they ran out to the car to ask them what they needed. The woman in the car said, "Are you going to be here for a little while longer?" Wondering why she was even asking that question because she was already there, they assured her that they would stick around, but continued to say, "You know, it won't really take us that long to fill your car." And she insisted, "I need to go to the bank first. I'll be right back." And so they waited. In a few minutes, the woman returned. As it turned out, she didn't need the food. She told them that she works at the dry cleaners across the street, and she sees the cars line up every time they open the food pantry, and she feels so blessed that she doesn't have a need for their food, so she wanted to give. She handed them $500 in cash. And the woman went home that night, certainly with the peace of Christ. And the church pantry was able to provide more food to those in need. So don't let this current isolation prevent you from offering support to those who need it. Perhaps an older or disabled neighbor needs help with groceries or filling a prescription. Even today, the order to quarantine can always leave packages on someone's doorstep to avoid direct contact. Or maybe there's someone who just needs to have a reassuring voice over the phone. For those who have financial resources, send a gift card to someone you know who's risking their life for the coronavirus victims. I mentioned in an email some time ago a list from people within our own church who are standing in the middle of that fight. Or maybe consider supporting a disaster relief program to those who have lost their homes in the tornado. There's LCMS, Lutheran World Relief. Or you can support our own local O'Fallon Food Pantry or any other program that is reaching out to people in need. Having received Christ's peace and His creative Holy Spirit, we can be a positive and uplifting people in anxious times. And we can bring Christ's peace to others by sharing God's love and compassion. Taking up the cross and following Jesus may not be literal, but the sacrifices you make for the sake of others in large or small ways is exactly what Christ had in mind. And here's the result of our cross-bearing and following Jesus. Like Thomas in our gospel lesson, most people come to believe by seeing, by experiencing the risen Christ in the flesh. You, church, are the body of Christ in the world. We are the agents of God's given peace. But don't carry this all on your own shoulders. It's not entirely up to you. Christ has given His life-giving Spirit, His amazing Holy Spirit, which will make us creative opportunities to serve and bring His blessed peace to those in these troubled times. But above all, remember this. The one who comes and offers peace, He is the one to be most feared. Or better, should I say, the one who is to be most held in holy reverence. Tornado damage, financial struggles, isolation, anxiety, fear, even death itself must step aside to Jesus Christ in the jungle of life. Jesus, who willingly served His Father to bring us peace, endured everything that the devil and evil and fear and isolation and pain and even death could deal out, and He overcame them all. In Christ, we are literally protected by the strongest man in the world. So now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let us now profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed as we say together, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. At the end of each petition, I will invite your response by saying, Lord, in your mercy, if you would please respond, hear our prayer and grant us your peace. We pray for the whole Christian church, that the peace of God dwell upon it, and that the Spirit of God work through it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer and grant us your peace. We pray for the nations of the world and for men and women entrusted with their leadership, that as one people under our Creator, we may be united in our efforts to overcome the deadly virus that has spread to the ends of the earth. By sharing resources and knowledge, help us to build friendships across the globe so that doors may be opened to the expansion of the ministry of Jesus and through his resurrection power, bring the healing of souls, granting true and lasting tranquility over the earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer and grant us your peace. We pray for our congregation and for every congregation that preaches Christ crucified and resurrected, that all of its members dwell together in unity and draw all people to the Savior of the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer and grant us your peace. We pray for those in the armed forces who have joined efforts to fight against the coronavirus, but who have also been called to help in areas of our country that have been devastated by tornadoes. Grant them strength and protection along with our local police, firefighters, and first responders as they daily put their own lives and their families at risk. Be with those in the southern part of our country who are homeless because of the tornadoes and fighting to recover and avoid infection. Graciously watch over all nurses and doctors, health professionals in all their life-saving work. Be with our grocery workers, especially Darla Kesting and Kim Cruz, as they provide life-sustaining food and supplies. Protect them from all danger. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer and grant us your peace. We pray for those whose lives are in need of a special measure of peace and comfort today, the sick and the hospitalized, including everyone on our prayer list. But especially today, we pray for 5-day-old Daniel Cush, awaiting a needed heart surgery. Pastor Brian Downs, as he recovers from a serious heart attack. And Tom Cabe, Wendy Gorney's cousin, who's in critical care for pneumonia and underlying heart issues. We also pray for our dear Carla Weaver, dealing with rheumatoid arthritis and medication reactions. And we implore you to give special comfort to Rose Fones, Kathy Markle's sister-in-law, who is near death and awaiting to receive the inheritance prepared for her through Jesus Christ. Bring, Lord Jesus, your words of peace and comfort to all those who are experiencing changes and challenges, including the millions of people who are unemployed because of the quarantine. Protect all who are suffering from the severe depression and help them to avoid the temptation of turning to self-medication, leading to drug abuse or self-harm to escape the frustration of hopelessness. Guard the elderly, those we truly love, and open new doors of interaction so that they may know they are loved and cared for as they face each new day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer and grant us your peace. We pray for those whose birthdays arrived this past week and for those celebrating this coming week, asking for your divine favor and blessing, especially upon Daniel Cush, Brianna Behrens, Leah Geis, Allie Strom, Callie Gorney, Matthew Vulcan, Timothy Anders, Kathy Markle, Lindsay Sherman, Pat Dalton, Ashley Vossaller, Kristen Lintvet, Zachary Kinsella, Harlan Feary, and Diana Brandmeier. We also pray for Emily and Gogo Sanchez, who celebrated last Friday, and Rich and Linda Williams, who are celebrating today, and for Dennis and Donna Brackmeyer, who will celebrate this coming Tuesday, celebrating another year of grace and marital blessing. Thank you, Father, for the gift of love that has been given to these couples and the deepening love that has blossomed over their years together. Hold them steady, Lord, during the difficult times, and be with them through the inevitable trials that they will have to face. And finally, continue to draw them closer to each other and to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer and grant us your peace. Amen. These and any other concerns you would have us bring before you, O God, grant to us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who also taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace, now and forevermore. Amen. Now go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now please listen or join along with the Royal Choral Society as they perform this unique yet beloved chorale, the Hallelujah Chorus from Handel's Messiah.